Welcome to The Daily Decrypt, the go-to podcast for all things cybersecurity. Get ready to decrypt the complexities of cyber safety and stay informed. Today is January 25th, 2024, the most important day of your life. Here is your host, Doja Span.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome back to The Daily Decrypt. I'm Doja Span, and I'll be diving into some recent cyber news. First and foremost, there was a major security breach affecting Trello's API, as reported by Bleeping Computer, which, of course, adds another 15 million accounts to the running tally of compromised accounts that we've been discussing. What follows is an interesting case study from Krebs on Security, in which a Canadian guy becomes caught up in a web of e-commerce fraud. Last but not least, I wanted to take a break from the CVEs, leaks, and exploits to highlight some of the security conferences in the US for 2024, compiled by HelpNet Security. Okay, up first, we have Trello API abuse to link email addresses to 15 million accounts. As reported by Bleeping Computer, an exposed Trello API was abused and used to link these email addresses to 15 million Trello accounts, which, if you haven't used Trello, it's a popular project management tool, a lot like, rather similar to Jira, or can't really think of any others off the top of my head. I do believe even Atlassian bought them. Feel free to comment and correct me. Bleeping Computer goes on and saying that a hacker known as Emo publicized the sale of data on a hacking site, bringing the situation to light. This data included email addresses, usernames, and other account information. So to break this down a little bit further, the method involves a publicly accessible Trello API, which allowed querying public profile information using email addresses. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar, an API, or also known as an application programming interface, is a set of rules that allow different software applications to communicate with each other. In Trello's case, their API lets developers integrate with Trello services into their applications. Now, Emo reportedly compiled a list of 500 million email addresses and used the API to link them to Trello accounts, circumventing rate limits using proxy servers. Malwarebytes also reported just kind of something similar here. The mother of all breaches, which is 26 billion records found. Probably mostly compilation, but wow. We are really going up there on the compromised account list. Now, with Trello, this does highlight a critical privacy issue. While the profiles, of course, if they were public, that's fine. Email addresses are not always exposed. So be sure to think about like what data you could potentially keep in Trello and how this could be tied to an email address, an account, a person. And it gives attackers and other malicious actors the tools that they can be successful when trying to exploit users with targeted phishing attacks. And it really just helps build that overall profile a lot like, I mean, our tech giants collect and gather a lot of this information and have that, and they share it to different marketing agencies and so on. So now you're just giving those keys to attackers, and they can really try to coerce you into some things. Trello did have a response following the discovery. They hardened the API to require authentication, which would have been nice in the first place, but at least it's done now. Hopefully, of course, there's MFA involved or something good to keep this from happening again. They do aim to balance user convenience with security measures, and that is the overall goal. I mean, we're all trying to do that. We can't just keep hindering users from using the tools and doing the things that they want, but we really need to, you got to strike a balance. We need users to do their due diligence and make sure that they're not falling for scams and that sort of thing, but we also need to secure things and also secure them in a way that it doesn't require tons of hurdles to just use a service. Now to highlight some other things going on, this incident is reminiscent of similar issues in Twitter, which occurred back in 2021, that this did a similar challenge where the API security and data privacy, the flaw allowed threat actors to input email addresses and phone numbers, then confirm if they were associated with a Twitter account. So then you could start tying those usernames to, valid people. Also, to tie this in, we did have yesterday's discussion on safeguarding mobile accounts. The Trello breach, like the vulnerabilities discussed yesterday, brought up by Dr. Luca Arnabaldi and his team, highlights just a common theme in cybersecurity, the exploitation of interconnected systems. Just as researchers are developing new methods to protect mobile accounts, incidents like the Trello leak underscore the need for continuous innovation and securing online platforms. Users that are concerned about data exposure in this leak, of course, as always, check the Ambi BinPwn service, which serves as, you know, a good interface to go see where your username or email may have been affected. And then, of course, as always, password hygiene, MFA, and that sort of thing. Don't want to dive too far into that, but if you want more information on password hygiene, account management, all of that stuff, I know Offset Keys and I would love to talk to you more about it. Leave a comment. Going into the next article, we're going to dive into a complex case of e-commerce, and this is a scam known as triangulation fraud. This is highlighting a story of Timothy Barker, a Canadian man who got tied up in a tough legal situation. This was brought to us by Krebs on Security. And a quick summary of the case: Barker was a band manager in Alberta, Canada, and he found himself accused of orchestrating an e-commerce scam. He purchased items from Amazon, which unexpectedly arrived from Walmart, leading to a series of events that implicated him in fraudulent activities. Now, what was a real culprit? That's what I brought up: triangulation fraud. This occurs when a seller on platforms like Amazon or eBay uses stolen credit card data to purchase items from another retailer, sending them to an unwitting buyer. Diving into this a little bit further, Barker, his ordeal began with a series of accusations from a woman in Ontario whose Walmart account was hacked to purchase items and then sent to Barker's address. The RCMP, that is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, kind of the equivalent of FBI top police force for the country, they did get involved, and unfortunately, leading to Barker's arrest despite his innocence. He did cooperate by providing credit card bills, Amazon purchase history, kind of trying to clear his name, but didn't look like it worked out for him. The fraudulent seller, which was later identified as Adavio from Turkey, added to the complexity of things, which just complicates Barker's efforts to really clear his name. Overall, the case highlights the complexities of e-commerce fraud. Barker had provided evidence of his innocence and unfortunately lost his job and struggles to find employment due to criminal charges. And that's one of the things that's really tough about this, is he's trying to come back from, you know, false accusations, and he was arrested. That's criminal charges are now stuck on your record. The charges were eventually stayed, but this left him in a state of legal uncertainty. Now, this is an important reminder about internet fraud and the true human cost of digital crime. Now, I think Offset Keys has mentioned this previously. You got to be vigilant out there. You really need to try to vet the sources, whether it's information, vendors, all of that, and take your time with the deals. If it seems like it's urgent, let it sit. There's a good chance you probably don't need it right this second, so, you know, take the time to digest it. But to summarize, some of the things that we can kind of keep in mind is, well, of course, verifying the sellers. We don't want to use unknown sellers on Amazon, eBay, and one of the things that I find myself more and more doing is diving through reviews, because even though there are plenty of items out there that have like next to no reviews, you want to steer clear of those, but going a step further and starting to read a handful of those reviews and seeing if there's, they seem human. They seem like they're describing the product. Maybe they have pictures, but it really got to try your best to validate what it is that you're targeting and trying to buy. And then, of course, payment methods. Make sure your credit card providers offer fraud protection. And then, I mean, we got to monitor our accounts. I recently found myself, I won't mention the bank, but I had some transactions that were occurring in different vendors overseas, different countries in Europe and so on. And I've traveled a lot throughout North America and would occasionally have my card locked because I'm, you know, making purchases in another country. But for some reason, they had never flagged it. And they were small transactions, luckily. I think it only ended up being $300 total over the course of like a year. But I wasn't super vigilant monitoring my statements and everything. It's almost like one of those things that you would want. Can I get a plug-in for my SIM and get some alerts if there's like out-of-country purchases instead of those, you know, anomalous logins that we see time and time again for all of those SOC analysts out there? And of course, pay attention to pricing. And as always, passwords. But if you do see anything suspicious, report it. Report it to the marketplace. Let eBay know, let Amazon know, or whatever other marketplace that you are using out there. And last up, I didn't want to dive too much into the news today. I did want to highlight some of the security conferences that are going around throughout the U.S. this year. Myself and Offset Keys. Fortunately, we were able to go to a B-Sides last year down in Augusta. That was a really great conference. And then we're going to be trying to make it out to a few other conferences this year. Some of the interesting ones, though, of course, there's B-Sides that happen all across the U.S. I highly recommend it. It's not too expensive. And there's a lot of good information that is shared there for all skill levels. But we also have AI, Automotive, Cybersecurity USA. That's going to be in Ann Arbor in March. Seems like a cool one, especially with a lot of the electric vehicles that are coming out there. And I mean, I even saw across my desk today that there was Tesla had gotten hacked in a recent, I think it was a competition. It was a zero day that maybe we'll dive into that one on another one. Sands, I'm a fan of Sands. They're going to be in Orlando in March and they have Net Wars, all sorts of tournaments and other labs. ISC, this one's going to be in Las Vegas, ISC West in April. That would be beneficial for anybody within the ISC program. But they're going to cover everything from cybersecurity, access controls, alarms, video surveillance, and anything IoT. HackSpaceCon, this one seems really unique. It's going to be down at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. A few just wide variety range of talks, but of course they're going to be talking about space and defense, satellites, all that neat stuff that a lot of us don't get to work with every other day. We have Gartner Security and Risk Management Summit. That's going to be in June. That one, digital risks, strategies for resilience, could be down with that one. And then OWASP has a global AppSec in San Francisco. Man, I'd love to go to that. That'd be cool. I haven't even been to San Francisco, so anybody want to donate, I'd appreciate that. But we'll be able to go into presentations from globally renowned keynote speakers. Well, they didn't provide a list here. And they have five different tracks to choose from. That sounds like a good one. Well, I hope to see you at some of those. And if you want to see us at any, you know what to do. Well, that's all I have for you today. We will, of course, see you tomorrow. And be sure to stick around for this weekend. We do have a bonus episode on LLMNR. I can never say that right. Responder and hijacking attacks in Windows ecosystems. Now, stay tuned and be vigilant out there.